It's the beginning of a new church year for us. Last week, we celebrated Christ the King Sunday, Jesus risen, reigning on his throne. This morning, he's still king. He's still reigning on his throne. And yet, during this season of Advent, we cry out to him, "How long, O Lord, until you come again and bring your healing to where there is brokenness, restoration, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So that's the cry of Advent, that he would come, that Emmanuel would come. So I encourage us now to take a moment to be still, to quiet our hearts in the hustle and bustle already of a busy season in Northern Virginia as we enter into the season of Advent. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now and in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As you remain standing, let us pray together. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and speak to us. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal Jesus to us as we hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I normally like to give my sermons a theme for two reasons. The first one is so that I don't forget what I'm preaching about. But the second one is to save you from embarrassment when they ask you after the service what the preacher said, so at least you have a short phrase to remember. So the theme for my sermon today is be expectant, stay awake, get ready. Be expectant, stay awake, get ready. Now today is a very special day for several reasons. First, because I'm preaching. Second, it's my daughter Stephanie's birthday. And third, it's the first day of December. So we're excited that we're kind of finishing off the year. And finally, it's Advent Sunday. And that should be exciting because we start a new year in the church. So happy new year. I thought you'd wish me back, you know this. So in Western Christian tradition, Advent Sunday, as Tim said, is the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And it's the Sunday that follows the feast of Christ the King, which we had last week. Now, the word Advent itself comes from two Latin words. It comes from advenire, and that's a Latin word that combines two words. One is ad, which is to, and venire, which means come. So it means to come. But from Advent, we also get the word Adventus, which means the arrival. So for us Christians, Advent is a season of anticipation and expectation of the coming of Christ the King in human flesh to dwell among us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. But as Tim said, Advent also comes as a very sobering event for us because we prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ the Messiah, which was read to us in the gospel today. And soon we will be professing in the creed that Jesus is coming back in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So in case you are really, really confused about one thing, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Amen. So we should be excited, but we should also prepare and get ready. It means when you have a very important visitor, if we say today that the President of the United States is coming to visit your home, I'm sure you do a lot of preparation. You probably paint, you know, pave the driveway, do all sorts of things. Well, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming, and we should get ready for his come. He's coming for sure. So how ready are we going to get? And that's what Advent is all about. Now, there are many traditions that surround Advent, and I won't go into all of them, but there is one tradition that we celebrate here at Truro, and that is to do with the Advent wreath or crown and the candles around it. Now, as you know, the Anglican faith is very symbolic. Everything we do here has great symbolism, from what we wear, the liturgical colors, and all the decorations that you see. They actually mean something. They're not just there for fun. And so I'll try and explain what this means for us and how we can learn from it as we celebrate Advent. And many people actually do Advent in their own homes, and they have the same wreath at home, and they light the candles, and we shall see what that means. Now, first, the Advent wreath is typically made of evergreens, and they are kind of interwoven together in a circle that has no beginning or end. And this has two meanings. First, it means that there is life, everlasting life, which is symbolized by the green that goes through all the seasons of life, that whether it's summer, winter, spring, harvest time, it's all going to be, it's an evergreen, life-giving Spirit of God that's hovering around us. The second thing that happens is that some people call it the crown, and that's because they, during Advent, they put the holly, and they put the red berries in there, and they put, pine nuts and pine cones in there, and that's to symbolize the crown of thorns that was put on the head of Jesus Christ. But it's also to symbolize the great love and sacrifice that he had for us in dying on the cross. Jesus died for us on the cross. And if you forget anything else I say today, Advent is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know that I like to say that all the time, but that's really what we are about. We are all about Jesus here. Now, then we have the five candles, and I'll just go into them and tell you what each one of them means. The first candle, it's purple candles, and then there's a pink candle and a white candle. But the first candle, which is purple, It's called the prophet's candle, and it symbolizes hope. And this candle reminds us of the Old Testament prophecies that came especially through Isaiah about the coming Messiah who would come to bring hope for a world that was lost in sin and confusion. Now, I don't know what kind of sin or confusion or whatever situation you find in yourself, but the Lord Jesus comes to bring us hope today. We need to have an endless hope, not a hopeless end. We need to hope in Jesus. We need to hope in Jesus. Now, I have to be careful how I say that because of my accent, but it works either way. Hope or hop, it's all the same. Hope and hope in Jesus, it all works. Amen. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, King David reminds us, he usually had these moments of introspection where he's speaking to himself. And in Psalm 42:5, he asks himself, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" And then he answers himself and says, "Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my salvation." Once we have hope in the salvation of Jesus, then we are covered. We need to know that God has our back. We need to have hope in Jesus Christ. The second candle is called Bethlehem's candle, and it represents faith. And it stems from the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And, you know, we need to have faith for this journey that we are on. During this Advent, I want to encourage you to exercise your faith. And not just blind faith. It's not just about having a good feeling about things. But faith means that you trust that God is always working, so you can expect things to work out just as he said they would work out. I was reading in my Daily Hope devotion this morning, and it says, you expect God to work in your life and in the world. You expect him to keep his promises. You expect he wants to accomplish his way through you, and you expect him to provide everything you need to do that. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's even impossible to know him. So we want to embrace faith during this Advent season. Now, the third candle is called the Shepherd's Candle, and it symbolizes joy. Now, I want to tell you, there is a difference, a great difference between joy and happiness. When the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, we're told the angel came to announce the birth of Jesus and told them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." The first thing about joy is that it's non-discriminatory. It can happen to anybody. It's for everybody. It's equal. It's an equal opportunities employer. It gives to everybody. So if you have no presents under the tree, if you have nothing for Christmas, just know that joy is available for you, because the Holy Spirit gives joy. Now, the difference between joy and happiness is that someone said happiness depends on happenings. But you see, joy doesn't depend on happenings, because you can have joy even when there is nothing happening in your life. Like right now, I have joy. And believe me, there is nothing very major happening except that I'm preaching. So that is what joy does. Joy depends on having the source of your peace and contentment in Jesus Christ. And that's why we need joy more than happiness. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want strength for your journey, you're going to need some joy. And how you get joy, you invite the Holy Spirit to give you the contentment and peace that you need, and then you will be joyful. There is something so special about joy. Yesterday, we were having this great fellowship at home, and, you know, singing and praising God. And you know, the house was literally shaking because the presence of God was so evident, and the whole house was filled with joy. There is something about singing and worshiping God that brings the joy of the Lord. You know, we're saying that it's your breath in our lungs. So we need to pour out that praise. Pour out that praise, and then joy. As you pour out that praise, joy comes and fills that space that you have in there. So this Advent, we want you to embrace the joy of the Lord. And the fourth candle represents, it's called the angel's candle, and it represents peace. Now, these things go together: hope, faith, joy, peace. You need to have all these things. And you notice something about them, they are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. And they're always available throughout the year, in season and out of season. The fruits of the Spirit keeps producing fruit throughout the year. It doesn't matter about what season you're in, the Spirit of the Lord can give you all these gifts. Peace. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's not just peace-loving, He is the Prince of Peace. And I was telling the earlier service that you'll be surprised how much turmoil goes on around Christmas. You know, all Christmas, Thanksgiving, there are all these arguments that break out about politics. Do you have families like that, that are arguing about politics and, you know, who is going to be the nominee and who is going to do this and what? You know, there's all this stuff that goes on. But Christmas is all about Christ. And we need to put Christ back into Christmas. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the eggnog. It's not all about the shouting and eating. I mean, the food is great. You should eat for sure. But let's remember, it's all about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. And so during this this Christmas, we want you to invite the Prince of Peace in your life. Now, the fifth candle is called the candle of Christ, or Christ's candle, and it represents light and purity. Now, you know that we live in a world of darkness, and the first thing that Jesus did in creation was to say, "Let there be light." Jesus brings light. He brings clarity in our confusion. I don't know if you're confused over what's going on in the world today, but in case you are, you need to rely on the light of Christ. He lights our darkness. He lights, you know, he brings healing to our pain. And Jesus comes into our situation and he brings clarity. So we have to listen to his voice. We have to see him. And that is symbolic also in the way we light the candles. And the closer we get to Advent, to Christmas rather, we light more and more candles. And that's what Jesus does. He continues to illuminate our path as we get closer and closer to him. We get clarity about where we're going. Now, this is what Advent is all about. It's about faith. It's about hope. It's about peace. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, that was read for us earlier, we were encouraged to be expectant, to stay awake, and be ready for this season of Advent. And there are three things that I want to share with you as I conclude. Normally, during Christmas, we ask for Christmas lists, your wish lists, so that we can buy gifts for people. I asked my children, you know, give me your wish lists and all this. And they gave me their lists. And there are three things that struck me that I want to share with you that would be helpful for you to remember Advent. The first one is that a number of them asked for watches. Watches, you know, Apple Watch, I don't know, Fitbit, this watch, the other watch, good watches. And that's a reminder for us to watch the times. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Watch and pray during this Advent season that you do not fall into temptation. The second thing that struck me on that list was earpods and earphones. And we need to listen to God during this Advent season. Listen for the voice of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Let's listen to the voice of God. Let's listen to the voice of God. And you know, these days they have these fancy headphones that have noise cancellation. So let's cancel out all the noises, the arguments, the politics, and all these other crazy things, and let's listen to the voice of God. Let your earpods be tuned to God as your GPS to listen to that voice that directs us. The third thing was about exercise or fitness equipment. And we need to exercise our faith in order to have the right muscle tone for this journey. We need to exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we read that, let us lay aside every weight and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then finally, I want to tell you that Jesus also has his own Christmas list for you. And it has only one item. And when you open that gift of Jesus and his wish list, when you open that email from Jesus, can you imagine getting an email from Jesus? You're going to find only one thing. It has one line and it says, "All I want for Christmas is you." Amen. Amen.